Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, Jeff Thomas, Matt Rodriguez-Payne and James Everett. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge is brought to you by coffee machines. Justin used one to make himself a coffee and not Emma. Kate has an entirely silent one and Emma has one that sounded like the TARDIS. We began the week at the Nest, where Chris and Alice were having a Barney, which continued through Mother's Day and into the next day when they were interrupted by Emma, who was clearly hopping mad that she'd missed the actual row itself. And I thought was probably going to ask them to do a rerun in case there was anything she'd missed. The best bit was when Alice said Jenny Darling had always been very fond of Chris, which made my eyebrows shoot up like rocketing pheasants. Jenny Darling was utterly horrified at the prospect of Alice marrying Chris. But then that's the roseate glow of grief, I suppose. Turns out Ed and Emma going into business with Will is not such as brilliant an idea as we supposed. Who could have guessed that having even the tiniest bit of power and influence over Emma would go to Will's head? Admittedly, missing out several huge sales opportunities from the business plan did not bode well. But then they're not going for business people of the year. They're just trying to prevent themselves going under for the 43rd time. There was a lot of business this week, but the scriptwriters, who I would hazard a guess are not members of the Chamber of Commerce, just kept using the terms smart targets, projections, and most worryingly of all, spreadsheets. Just those three. They had the Ladybird Book of Business, and my God, those three pages were well thumbed. George was so vile and unpleasant to his mother that he deserves, and I dislike saying this, a clip round the bloody ear. I know there is talk of bringing back national service politically, which is ludicrous in my opinion, except in the case of George, who needs to be made to march pointlessly round a desert for about 6 months. He brings out the Victorian parent in me, but sadly he brings out the doting mama in Emma, who was still trailing round after him, wondering if she should wake him up from his cider-fueled bender with his granddad. He also announced, rather oddly, that seeing his parents kissing was more upsetting to witness than them having sex. That is quite the bold claim, and one I sincerely hope isn't based on experience, but I suppose they did share a mobile home for several years. I imagine he wore headphones for much of the time and coughed loudly before he entered rooms. Jakob realised he'd upset Paul, so he decided to make amends by watching him sanitise things. The credit for his apology to Paul was claimed by Kate, who turns out to be Paul's unexpected new best friend. I can't keep up with this. Who next? Eddie Grundy and Robert Snell on a weekend break at the Lake District? Chelsea and Auntie Cardboard on a spa day? Anyway, they told each other anecdotes and we had to hear it. Can they please, please not do that? Because the stories are never, ever funny and it makes me clench so hard my earrings fall out. Alice and Brian went to Cheltenham for the racing. I am very confused about Alice's race day outfit. She doesn't pay rent, as far as I know, so surely she would have had time to order something online rather than wear things Kate found at the tip. Ah, oh, Brian, how are you and your lovely daughter who smells faintly of bin juice? If I was Jakob and I was in my gym jams with my book, which I frequently am at 9 p.m. of an evening, I would have kicked Kate down the garden path for ruining my evening. Not just turning up when she'd expressly said she'd be out, but bringing his irritating colleague with her. I know she said, well, I'm me and everyone has to just get on with it, but there's annoying and then there's psychotic. That is unforgivable with a capital UN, and Jakob deserves the George Cross. Miranda is back. Being played by the late Queen Elizabeth II, by the sound of it, cantering about on a pretend horse and booking speakers for events now. I'm not convinced that Brian actually fancies her, and I can't really see that hooking up with Justin's sloppy seconds is grabbing him either. But judging by the roguish chuckling he was doing on the phone to Justin, he's missed a bit of intrigue, and he clearly hasn't had this much fun since he got stuck into Mandy Beesborough's loose box. The tea room was festooned with bits of dead cow, which personally always makes me fancy an afternoon tea. But then Fallon's passag complaining finally made it to full-on ag, and Tony took down the stinky old cow hides. Meanwhile, it looks like Fallon has also won the battle of the music, as by the sound of it, the 40s jazz is back. Oddly, the same music then seemed to carry on into Miranda and Brian's evening of intellectual stimulation, which seemed unusual, but not as unusual as Brian actually putting someone else before himself, namely Alice. Well done, Brian. You are 80-odd, but you've got it. There is hope for us all. The end.
Oh, I loved Brian tonight. Oh, when he turned up for Alice,
yes.
I actually went, Brian.
Yes.
And then I corrected myself and went, Brian. And as we were just saying,
yes.
Thank goodness, there's somebody else come
call
along.
Brian.
Brian. Brian, I've had a lovely time, Brian. Oh my God, I'm so in love with Miranda, Lucy.
What did she say? She didn't say, I've had something. No. She said...
I said it to you, didn't I? And yeah, I can't remember.
I can't tell you how...
Oh, I can find it.
I can't tell
end.
You how much I've...
Enjoyed your... What was it?
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed your company. Bran.
Shall I find it?
Yeah.
Because it's going to bug us otherwise.
Tonight, I'm Kate's beds. I didn't expect you to pick up. I was going to leave... But I can never be absolutely sure. She's really struggled in the past.
Yeah.
Of course. Let me know if things settle and you change your mind. It's been an absolute pleasure spending time with you.
That was worth waiting for.
She said, you know, like when the Queen
yes,
used to say something so insincere. It's been an absolute pleasure learning about this, you know, sewage factory.
It's been
an
absolute pleasure to meet you all in your chicken hats and aprons today. No, it's just the
It's been really fascinating. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed it. Where's my car, please? I'd like to go home now.
But what is so delectable about Miranda is that she formally but to her that is her natural speech.
Yes.
She's so natural, isn't she?
Yeah.
And it's incredible that she's like this silk glove that's just been handed to us.
Michael
and
Gorman actually
words...
commented and said, he was thinking that Miranda was played by the same actor that played Rory's ex, and it isn't.
Yeah, that's so funny because I thought vocally there's a similarity.
Yeah.
I thought the same.
So close but no cigar. Michael, but he said both characters have that posh, icy voice that makes posh men go weak at the knees. Yeah. Perhaps it reminds them of their nannies.
It's the clipped tone because eventually that voice will sadly die off, won't it? Because it doesn't exist in even the posh younger people.
Yeah.
Nobody has.
Well,
really
it's
held
all
on to that
got
clipped.
More drawly and the more slippy vowels and slightly more. Sort of transatlantic-y.
It's been an absolute pleasure to record this podcast with you, Lucy. I'd be terribly pleased if we could do it next week too. I think hearing when Brian turned up for Alice and said, oh, come on, I've just lit a fire. My heart melted because actually he has had to step into Jenny's place, hasn't he?
He's got away with it. He's 80-odd. He's been a shit father for 80 years.
Yeah, but not
he's now got it. So let's not go mad about Brian being father of the year.
Except, Lucy, lots of people that age can't change.
Yes,
don't
that's
change.
True. That's true.
He really has been there for Alice. And actually, I mean, it took him a while, didn't it, when she was in rehab to
yeah.
sort of...
Yeah.
But he really has stepped up and their bond is so close. But it's a bit weird because she only turned up for 5 minutes. They barely made it to the fire and then she was like, actually, I've got to go. And I was like, oh my God, he's just missed a whole evening of potential beddery for you.
Beddery with a woman that goes, hey, Brian, don't do it like that.
It's an absolute pleasure when you touch me down there, Brian. Brian. Just imagine what she's like in bed.
Could
so
you just
glassy
left,
and stilted.
Left hand down a bit. Left hand. Oh, left. Left. There we go.
It's like listening to Eleanor Bron or someone, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Just
well, no, it's
so...
more like Steve on
yes!
Paul Temple.
That's exactly right.
Steve.
Oh, Steve, do be careful, darling. There's a man in a balaclava. He's got a knife right in front of your nose, darling. Do be careful.
Stay in the car, Steve. No, I'm coming with you. There she goes again. He should have ditched her. Everything happens when she's there. If she's not there, nothing happens. The second she sticks a roar in, it all goes to hell in a handcart.
And then they're always having a gin and tonic at about 11 a.m.
Yeah,
exactly. God, I love that era.
All they do is just swan about, eating and drinking everywhere. Yes, exactly.
Being mean to servants.
Yes.
And talking down to people.
Swapping really terrible, terribly pronounced foreign languages, European languages.
Yeah. Oh, that is my kind of night out, to be honest. No, I'm very pleased for Brian, though, because I just enjoy, if Brian's enjoying himself, I feel like we're all enjoying ourselves, Lucy. Come on, let's be honest about it. He deserves a bit of fun now. And also, I do like it when I don't know, maybe it's easier for men to move on. Is that a generalisation? But like, Jenny's been dead for a year.
Oh, it's not easier for men. It's more essential because they have no sodding idea how to look after themselves a lot of the time.
Yes. I mean,
basically,
it just feels
they lose
like
one housekeeper and immediately replace it with another one. That's in my experience.
But I think that's fine because, you know, why should they?
I mean, old ones that never kind of learned.
That have never cooked a dinner in their life. Yeah, except Brian's been on a cooking course.
Oh, yes. Which he probably used to pick up women, to be honest. But anyway, he just saw it as a sort of audition for the next Mrs. Aldridge.
You'll do. Can you cook and can you tidy? Can you choreograph a dinner party?
Oh, God.
I loved all that, and I love the fact that there's going to be some tension with Justin at the ball. It's going to be so fun. I think
Justin trying to charge Emma.
But wasn't that interesting that I thought they cleverly played that scene after Miranda had said, dear Jenny, what did she say? She said Justin is petty and small-minded.
Yes.
I thought that was the perfect description. Mm. And then they immediately cut to Justin going, where's my consultation fee? Oh, I mean, it was just brilliant, wasn't it? It was just perfect.
Yeah.
And we were all outraged. But I thought that was just perfect, actually, because he is a pain in the bum, Justin, isn't he? He's horrible. Yeah. And then but then not good for Emma because she's not intimidated by him actually at all. She was like, fine, yeah, we'll do a deal. Fine.
Yeah. Half an hour tree work. They wouldn't even have got the chainsaw started in half an hour.
Well, it depends how expensive they're going on their equipment, doesn't it?
I have been living a bit of Archer's life here. I have, because at this time of year, there is nowhere you can go in North Wales where you don't hear the sound of a chainsaw.
Oh, right.
Because you need to get rid of whatever you need to get rid of now before the birds start nesting.
What do you mean? Like what, though?
Taking down trees and taking down overhanging branches and things like that.
Oh, okay.
So you need to do it now before.
Oh, I see.
Before the birds start nesting.
Right. Yeah.
And before the trees come into leaf, most of them anyway. And I've just had my garden cleared by some people who, this local company that came in. And they were all sort of, they had all the gear. They had the metal trousers and they had the
metal trousers?
Yes.
Wow.
They're not
like armour?
No, it's like, it's so that if the chainsaw clips your trousers, it bounces off. It doesn't go into your leg.
Wow. Like armour.
And I tried to persuade them to let me have a go and they wouldn't. It's very sad. I said,
let me have a go, young man.
Can you film it? So I could, and he said, no.
Lucy, you
put it down. I said, you know, I can just go and hire one of these from B&Q or whatever and just take it away and saw my own arm off if I want to.
Can you?
Yep. And they said, well, that's up to you, but you're not on our insurance if you do that. So off you trot, they said.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
How long were you fighting with them over the chainsaw?
I bribed them with biscuits to ask them to let me have a go on the chainsaw and they would not. Very mean.
Did you say, is this a terribly hard job? Did you ask them, like, did you do some research into Ed and Emma's business plan?
Well, no, because my guys weren't not your actual tree surgeons. But I know two tree surgeons, and one was a he's a boulderer, and he also did that abseiling, lots of abseiling. Yes. He was really into climbing.
I think we've discussed this because I knew a tree surgeon, and he was a circus performer.
Yes.
And then obviously it was then there was COVID, and he couldn't do any more live work. So.
And judging by their ages and the guys that were here, Emma and Ed are way past it.
I mean, they don't even do gymnastics.
No.
How do you get up the top of the tree?
You climb up.
With your feet? Or is there like a ladder thing?
No, you climb up with your feet.
Wow.
With
and
your
ropes.
Feet. Yes. And you're so sort of belayed so that you don't...
I mean, have you ever done a climbing wall, Lucy?
Yes.
It's so hard because no normal people have any upper body strength.
Yeah.
So you can't get up. It's impossible.
No. Mm. And they do it with a chainsaw. But the chainsaw's on a separate rope, so the chainsaw goes up separately.
It's going to be funny when they give it a go. And then they're like, actually, no, we can't do it now. Let's just get down.
Hey,
Justin!
Where's the business plan? Put it on the fire. It's all right, Will. We don't need
but
it.
But also, it's funny.
You don't have to mortgage your house. Oh, you have? Oh, I'm sorry.
The business plan is like... doing that, you know, when you're procrastinating over a project or a task, or like I'm trying to make a website at the moment and I've been building it for 9 years, but there's always something better to do, like draw a picture of maybe what the front, you know, design it.
Yes.
On a,
the fun bit.
The fun bit. That's what the business plan is. It's just some writing.
Mm.
But you surely it's not really as important as just doing.
Well, it's to attract investment, but they've got the investment.
Yes, but exactly. They're not going to get anyone else.
No.
And Will doesn't know what a USP is, does he?
No.
Even though he pretends he does. I don't know what it is. What is it? That's the thing. It's like the thing.
Unique selling point. So it's the thing so you've got that no one else has.
I'm sorry, what is theirs?
Because
what have they got that no one else has got? Other people have got a chainsaw.
Free cupcake with every
that's got to be it. Has some lovely 1940s tunes to go with it.
Fanny's been a right miserable cow now.
Oh, she's all right, old. But she's always had it in her. That's why I really like
Fanny. Chippy, bit chippy.
Yeah, she's always had that undercurrent of a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
She does. It comes out quite frequently. And I think I like Fallon because she is one of those rounded characters.
Mm.
She's not too nice or too good to be true. And Emma, Alice did really piss her off.
Mm.
So I'm with her feeling, you know, I loved it when she went, oh, I didn't get the doll's house. That was all Harrison. Mm. God, that is the sort of thing that when someone says that to you, it just breaks you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It was so well said and written, that line.
And she went,
thought,
well, it's really, really generous. Thank you very much.
<Heaven's doing me. gasps> But she's good. But she's very real like that, Fallon, isn't she? When you're, it's that awful conflict of when somebody's hurt you or somebody's done something that really pisses you off, and so you decide to sort of step away from the friendship. Mm. Not that I've ever done this, FYI, but I can imagine that it's really hard to be mean but not be too mean, but just say those little pointed things that
I think what you have to do is you either have to say, I am really angry about this. I'm not able to let it go yet. I'm just going to have to avoid you for about 6 months and I will review it after that.
Yes.
Unless you have completely made your peace with it, and that I mean totally 100% made your peace with it, you are never, ever going to stop making those little... Because you just
tiny
can't.
Jibes.
Yeah.
No,
you
no.
just can't. Because when you associate, when you think of that person, you get a little flare of adrenaline, which is, oh, I'm still really cross about that.
Yeah, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah. And that's not, that doesn't go away unless you have actually got it out of your system completely and thought, they really pissed me off, but I'm sure I've pissed them off or other people off. So I've got to forgive them 100% and then go on with an open heart. Otherwise, you are just going to keep needling away. And then you feel guilty because you've needled and blah,
yes,
blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. And she does, because then she goes home and goes, I feel really bad about Alice. Yeah. But I wish that I because it felt like Alice was getting back on track, and I don't, when she and Chris were rowing, I was like, oh God, no, please, not again. The, you know, the sort of shaky voice and the nearly
Would
the
you know
tears.
What, when she's, after Cheltenham, when Brian said, so we can either do so-and-so or we can go, and I was thinking, they should go for a drink. Oh no, I suddenly thought, oh, maybe she'll start drinking with her dad. And then I thought, that's madness, Lucy. Of course they're not going to do that.
Yes, but then Brian was loving the champagne tonight, wasn't he?
But I think it was because the last time they've been in a scene like that out together, it was when, do you remember Alice thought she was getting him drunk on the way to rehab?
Yes, of
So that
course.
He wouldn't, he couldn't drive her. And then he said he'd just been drinking water.
Oh, God, it must be so hard if you're the parent of an alcoholic, because if they call you and say, I'm not in a good place, of course you're going to drop everything, because you must be like, don't have a drink, don't have a drink, don't have a drink.
Yeah.
God, it must be so frightening. And that's why I do feel so sorry for Chris, because, you know, even though poor Alice, she's worked so hard and blah, 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 blah. But in a way, I'd be the same as Chris. I can't, it must be, how can you 100% trust that person ever again?
Yeah.
Because you know the pull of the drink and what it can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it must be so difficult.
Well, that's the sort of, when people say, because part of AA is you have to go and you have to make, make apology to the people that you may have hurt during your period of in sobriety, and you have to write letters to people, and you have to go and see them and say, I did this to you and I'm very, very sorry, and I did that to you and I'm very, very sorry, and everything. And it can make people angry, the recipient, because they just think, you can't just say sorry and then so that's fine now, I'm just supposed to forget it. And the alcoholic person generally says, no, I understand that you're not going to forgive me, but I need to say it.
oh, it's just awful. And then, it's like a vicious circle.
Yeah. And then there's that kind of, but every time, you know, as the person, that every time they look at you, that's what they're seeing. Yeah. They're seeing all the times that you let them down.
And then Alice is, you know, when she was going, I can't keep up. It's almost like, but there's literally nothing, because, you know, I feel sorry for Alice. You imagine being the person that, you know, I can't keep saying sorry. I can't make it better by. Oh, it's just awful. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
That's probably why Alice and Chris can never get back together again, or shouldn't ever get back together again, because she does need a partner, I think, they both need a fresh slate.
Mm. Yeah.
Otherwise, they're too tangled up in the past of what could happen, and it's terrible, really.
Paul Wiskin said something about that. He said, I think the Alice and Harry situation is interesting. In addiction recovery circles, we would say that Harry is in the pre-contemplation phase, where he may be beginning to realise that he has a problem. He said he's looking for help, which may mean he's thinking of doing that because he feels he needs to do it if he wants to be with Alice. Alice has been through the mill and is now in the maintenance stage. If Harry seeks help, Alice may be able to support him without risk to herself. Indeed, supporting others can be a great help to one's own maintenance of abstinence. Rather than Harry being a threat to Alice's sobriety, she appears to be strong enough to help him.
Oh, right.
We shall see, from one who has been there and is in maintenance.
Oh,
well
right.
done, Paul.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So she could help him, but I think you're not supposed to have a personal relationship with your buddy or your mentor or your whatever. So it would be a really, really terrible idea, whatever. But she might be all right, be more all right being around him than we think she is going to be, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, she does seem 100% strong.
Yes.
Except for tonight when she had a wobble.
Yes. But anyway, I don't want her to be with Harry because I think he's an ass.
Yes.
To you?
No, he is an ass, but they were well suited.
Well, because she's an ass as well.
Well, I mean,
Two asses together.
They did seem quite well matched, didn't they?
Do you think?
Well, they got the horsiness, haven't they? The thing about Alice is, that's the thing. She needs someone horsey in her life for that, because that is her life.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't think Harry's coming back anyway. I think that's probably it for him, isn't it? He was a sort of a famous cameo.
Yeah. Jennifer Marsh is unsure. She says, why, oh, why are we being reminded about what a great mum Alice is to Martha? I was going to write in last week about it because so many people had said it. Brian, Jimus. Then it all went quiet until Friday and Chris said, she's such a good mum. This is all building up to something, I'm sure, but I can't tell what.
No.
And I hope nothing untoward with Martha and Alice, now Harry whodunit, is off the scene. Or is he? I'm sure all will be revealed this week.
No, I just don't think that they
no,
would.
No, I
don't think they could do
they
that to
us.
They put us
through so much with,
yeah.
with them before.
And, oh God, exactly. Honestly, please. Even when Alice and Chris were having that Barney, I just thought, I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't take any more of this. Just let it be fine now, please.
Will you?
Please.
You. Excuse me.
Also, Chris is always so understanding. It's sort of almost annoying.
Maddening.
Just stamp your foot and kick some hay and go, argh! And you scratch your nails down a wall or something. But he always is so good at trying to understand.
Yeah.
And in a way, that sort of makes it worse because they just go back and forth. Yeah. Oh, you just had a massive cat tantrum, kicked a bucket over, and then stomped off.
Poor Jeff was catapulted straight into the middle of the Alice alcoholism storyline.
Was that when he started listening?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it really traumatised him. And every time there's a scene with Alice and Chris, he says to me, it's not starting again, is it? It's not. He's been scarred. I said to him, you'd never have got through Helen and Rob. You'd have been sectioned. It was awful. If you think that was bad, you should have been there for the Helen and Rob years.
I don't know. I wonder if Helen and Rob was easier to listen to because there was a clear villain. Whereas with Alice and Chris, you can empathise with both.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it such a headache.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
You're just sort of pulled from one to the other and it's really tiring.
Yes.
And it does feel like they are going to end, that they're sort of heading towards ending up back together, but I don't think that'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Maybe we need Amy back on the scene, Lucy.
Oh, God. Tracy Sunshine. No, please not.
Loved her. Loved her.
What do we think about poor Paul this week? I did rather feel that he had been put in the middle of a sort of personality battle between Jacob and Kate that seemed singularly unfair, but anyway.
Well, I felt like I really related to Paul this week because
have you been told you're too much, Harriet?
You know, I went away with my girlfriends at the weekend, Lucy.
Yes, and you had a little tantrum all of your own, didn't you?
I was telling you. The thing is, what you like, I'm so used to just, if I see my friends, I see them for a night out. You know, I'm so used to just being with my family and kids, and I've grown too used to being myself. And so when I went away for quite a long time with my friends,
it was 2 days. What are you talking about?
No, because I missed my flight.
You
so
didn't
it was 3
walk
days.
The Hindu Kush with them, for God's sake.
I didn't miss my flight. The flight, as you know, because the flight was cancelled home.
Yes.
Because I sent you a bad
Jeff and I got a bit of a hysterical text on the Ambridge on the Couch group chat going,
midnight on Sunday.
How do I get back from wherever I am?
Because Jeff
can I get
has
a taxi?
Basically, because Jeff has such good knowledge of Europe, being European, I expected him to know all the nearby train stations / airports.
And he was just going, why does she not just wait for the next plane?
And the next plane was in 24 hours. Couldn't. Anyway, luckily I had a very good friend. Actually, my very good friend who managed to get me home was the one that sort of, I was a bit ill on the first day. And I think the next day I was like, I was too much because I was 100% the next day. And I was like, oh my God, it was so great. Blah, 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 blah. And then she sort of made a remark like, I think I preferred you when you were a bit under, actually.
Oh.
No, just very through. But you know when suddenly you're like, oh God, I'm too much. I'm Paul. I'm quite noisy. I don't shut up. I bring the energy. And sometimes...
Thank you for the energy. Could you take it away again now, please? Thank you.
People don't need that at 8 a.m, do they? No. Not always.
No. No. So... I like silence and crossword when I'm... Yes.
And, you know, I was singing on the chairlifts and... I think I misread my audience at times.
You were singing on the chairlifts.
I love singing on a chairlift.
Jesus, I'd have pushed you off straight away. You'd have been head first in the nearest snowdrift.
I think several of my friends fancied doing that too. But it's because, Lucy, I wasn't being aware of... I think I was so overexcited because I was away without kids, etc. Are you there?
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm just...
This is my paranoia now.
I'm just trying to imagine paranoid. What a nightmare you must have been.
I know, but you don't really... I think it just... Then I was like, oh my God, when Paul was sort of like,
yeah,
okay, maybe I am a bit too noisy. Mm. And I thought, oh my God, maybe I am Paul. I might well be Paul. It's just usually people see me in small doses. So
yes.
They don't see the, like... Really,
I don't see you. Well, I only see you in small doses,
you
don't
see
I?
Me in small doses, Lucy. I think I can be a bit much.
Okay.
But anyway, it's good to. But I felt really happy that I'd acknowledged that.
Okay.
Yes.
How did you acknowledge it?
Well, only when I was listening to the Archers.
And you thought, somebody wanted to say that to me.
Yeah.
Jakob said to Paul, which is basically shush.
Especially, and then because I had a diva tantrum about the flight being cancelled, and I think they saw another side of me they didn't often see. I did what I think Chris should have done to Alice. I threw things on the floor and stamped my foot and went, I gotta get home, and cried a lot. And they were like, okay. Okay. It's fine. It's going to be fine. And then they just walked off.
They walked off?
No. They walked off to go and do something.
Oh, I see.
They went and they were
to
like...
To do something constructive rather than chucking things around and kicking things. Yes.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. So I think I just need to grow up.
No, finding out I can't go home when I want to go home.
Yeah.
But I would kick things too.
It's Lucy, me and you are homebodies, and I love going away, but I think I love coming home even more because I actually do genuinely still get homesick.
Yeah.
And when you think you can't get home.
Are you making cocktails there? There's a lot of chinking and clanking going on.
I love being at home in front of a mic with my cocktail shaker. Not seeing people, just annoying them on the airwaves. It's my happy place.
But honestly, though, if I was Jakob and someone had turned up and brought back people, even if it was Paul, I would have...
No, that's awful.
That's beyond the pale.
Paul was sort of well aware of that.
Yes, yes.
And actually, he really should have said, honestly, Kate, yeah. I'm not staying. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Jakob, I'd have been outraged. Jakob should have just, gone upstairs, but still, it's just so annoying.
I love the way Kate calls him my life partner. And you can hear Jakob going, ugh, every time. It's like, don't say that out loud. Like it.
Kate and Jakob's pairing. I think the writers must still be high-fiving themselves every time they have to write a scene. It's just so brilliant, those two. And also, I liked the... Ed and Emma chemistry again this week because they have a Fallon Harrison sexual relationship, don't they?
Yeah.
They really fancy each other and it's so sweet.
But I think as soon as you put Will in the mix, that just throws it into sharp relief because Will is such a dick that, you know.
And did you hear they put a stick sound effect with Will this week? You know, he's got that staff that he's... Because when he was chatting with George, it just kept going tap, tap. And I was like, what is that? And then I realised it must be the walking stick, his new high heels.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite interesting.
Mm.
Yes, such a dick. Such a dick.
I just knew he wouldn't be able to resist it. You know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And he just knows enough to be annoying. and to make them feel crap, even though it wasn't even him, it was
no, but I think Brian. His intentions were really good, though, because at the beginning he hadn't even bothered, wasn't even going to bother reading their business plan. It's only when George,
who was so awful,
George, God, I'm sorry, but if George had spoken to me and I was his mum,
you
like
wouldn't
that,
speak to anybody no, like no, that. Let
you
alone
would just
your
go,
mum.
Get out!
Yeah.
Dare you? You are. Yeah. You disgust me.
Yeah.
He is vile.
Yeah.
He's vile, except when Fallon's in the room, and then yeah. he's so sweet and hilarious.
And then and he said, "Those two, I'll leave you two losers to it," or something.
Also, I'm like, it's
bloody
so,
hell.
It's if I was Ed, because Ed obviously is not his biological dad. I would just be so. I'd hate that kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah. his anger towards it's obviously because of Ed.
Yeah,
and also like, was it to speak to your mother like that as well? Mm. It's just disgusting.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway,
no.
It was funny when they mentioned their three-way, though, wasn't it? Yeah. Let's go three-way on this. We'll have a three-way relationship.
I wouldn't say that out loud.
That was funny.
Right, this is what you missed last week. Jimus said the word roasties, which I did not believe. And Kate Lyle doesn't either. As I always say, Kate Lyle is my spirit animal. She said, so glad you posted about Jim not saying roasties. I ranted for a good 5 minutes about this to the delight of my family. And I said that I was taking the piss out of Shula and said, because Jeff was asking me about Alistair's gambling problem, which we've all forgotten about.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, yes, of course. Well, you know, Shula was as gracious and wonderful about that as you would expect. And Kate has rightly said, I do think expecting Shula to be understanding and gracious about having to remortgage her house to pay Alistair's gambling debts is a bit above and beyond, to be honest. Yes, it completely is, Kate. And I had totally forgotten that she'd done that. She said, also, again, I can never forget Alistair being creepy about the work experience student who was also, I think, Daniel's girlfriend.
No way.
I will hear so fresh in my head till the day I die, she says, shudder.
What? Ugh. I don't
yes,
remember that.
He was. He sort it was at the time because he was had a sort of a it all sort of came together in a horrendous collision for Alistair, didn't it? Where he nearly lost his mind and he was in real trouble with the gambling, and then I think it was Daniel's girlfriend came to work. Somebody's girlfriend came to work at the vets, and Alistair was slightly weird with her because I think she sort of fancied Alistair a bit as well.
Oh God!
And he
I don't
did
remember.
Not handle it very well.
Oh, that's horrible.
Kate Lloyd-Jones has views too. She said, you mentioned briefly Alistair's gambling addiction, and that took me back to Lucy's discussion the previous week of the chaotic and impulsive behaviour of Alice the addict. There's definitely a bit of that with Alistair too. We never knew his first wife, beyond the fact that they rowed a lot and divorced. I remember he first came to listeners' attention as a silent object of Caroline's interest, but he turned her down and then unexpectedly Whoa. Snogged Shula at her 40th birthday party. Held 8 months early, can't remember why, but probably something to do with Kenton being about to piss off travelling and not be around for the actual day, because he'd quietly fancied her for a while. Now he's been lusting after Denise from afar. Seems a bit of a habit. Is it Ooh. All part of the risk-taking fantasist life of an addict?
Or he just fancies Denise.
Or he just fancies Denise. But he is behaving. Jeff and I were saying last week, he is behaving. He's like a you know, 16-year-old who's in love for the Aww, first time.
No, because he's fallen in love, Lucy.
Yeah,
you're cute.
I know.
He's so cute. He's like Brian and Miranda. No, I like it.
Yeah, but,
like
but he went
like,
around telling people so quickly, and he was saying, no. I will keep it under control. I'll keep it under wraps.
But you can't.
But I love her. You know.
But that's the thing. When you have fallen for someone, it's impossible not to talk about them all the time and not to
mentionitis.
That's why it was so nice when Brian said, he was like, today I just, he'd sort of said, oh, I woke up and suddenly I don't feel overwhelmed with everything. Because he's thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Because Miranda's attracted him. And
yeah.
suddenly,
yeah.
You know, suddenly life is so much more exciting, isn't
well,
it?
Well, they said this evening, I can't remember whether it was Alice or Brian said, I think it was Alice said, not just plodding on.
Yes,
something
of course.
A bit
yeah,
exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The executive director needs a wee, so I'm just going to have to open the door. Hang on one sec.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They started to give you very many minutes of content.
Like
an Archer's monologue from COVID days.
Sadly missed because I pressed pause.
What
sorry.
What a waste. You'll never hear about my exciting evening in Zurich. Getting to Zurich, driving through the night to Zurich.
Where did you stay in Zurich?
Well, they...
At the station.
Basically at the station. In the taxi is where I stayed. Trying to fall asleep. But I was trying to... I thought, oh, we'll get a good 3.5 hours sleep in the taxi. But the driver was going so fast and it was like 3 a.m. and I was so worried that he was going to fall asleep that I couldn't get to sleep because I had to get waking up and staring at him and coughing to make sure he wasn't going to get to sleep. It was so stressful. I was so anxious. And he was driving so fast. It was so scary. But he got us there, Lucy. He got us there. Love him. I love him. I'm so grateful to him. He got me home in time for work. I could have cried. Every night this week I've gone to bed going, I am so grateful to be in my bed. I can't tell you, the feeling is incredible.
We're not natural travellers, are we? We're not. We're just not. No.
Rufus is like, you missed a flight from Innsbruck. You were going to get home. It's like I've been, you know, in some awful sort of camp for weeks and weeks or, you know, in a, stuck in the mountains or... No.
You've done a transatlantic sea voyage, single-handed. Exactly. You rowed across the Atlantic yourself.
I was shipwrecked on a rock.
Rather than sitting in a rather nice airport, having a
taxi
massive
ride away. A taxi ride away from another airport. With plenty of flights.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, but, you know, I as like Kate, I catastrophize.
Yes. Kate didn't say that she did. She said Kate would say. Kate doesn't identify what she's doing. She just identifies what everyone else is doing.
Huh. Well, I was catastrophizing for sure. Yes. How was Cooper's wee?
It's very good. Thank you. And then
good.
The thing is, he insists on then doing his tour of the grounds where he has to go check all the perimeters to make sure there've been no intruders.
It's in his equity contract. He has a break every 25 minutes, doesn't he?
Yes, so, but then I have to stand there like a pillock with the door open shouting, will you come in? Well, I could just see this shape pottering around at the bottom of the garden.
Do you have neighbours that can hear you or not?
No.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes.
So you can shout as much as you like.
I have a castle on one side.
Yes, that's so exciting. Do you ever feel scared?
No.
Oh, that's so nice. Good.
Often people ask me that. I don't know why anyone thinks I would be. Because of ghosts.
Shadows and ghosts and
being
alone and, you know.
Oh, no.
Intruders and.
No.
Not trying to make you feel scared now. No.
Not at all.
You're not in London.
Anne Kjo has messaged us and said, I had to look up Bellend. She said, it's not used in Canada. Then I laughed for an hour or two. She said,
you said that your mum had.
Yes, What is a belly? So that was a conversation I hope I never have to have again. Ina Kleiner. Last week he played Ina Kleiner Archer's music. And she said, "The orchestra I conduct is playing the original in June, and at least one of our players will love Matt's version. She's from the UK and will get it."
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's good. Thank you,
that
Anne.
That's great.
Michael Gorman again says, "I regretfully think that you and Jeff are wrong about Horrible Harry. He is a cad and a rotter and has shown himself to be so, especially when drink taken. I regret to say that I have encountered entitled middle-class types with a nasty streak when denied, like him, more often than I like in my long life. He obviously has some kind of wheedling charm for women he pursues and obviously has been spoiled rotten by his mother, who he probably calls Mater in deference to his third-rate public school. And been indulged in eventing, whatever that is. Has he a job, a career, other than buggering about with horses? If Alice takes up with him again, I think she should be sectioned. Strong letter follows. All the best, Michael."
I don't think Michael likes Harry.
I don't think Michael. You get that impression, don't you? Reading between the lines. I am very much hoping that what you said is right and that he was just... No, because he's coming back for the sodding inquiry, isn't he?
I don't know. Chilcot inquiry. Any of that. I know, but I actually don't. I don't think we'll hear that.
Yes, we will, because he'll get. No, we won't. But then he'll come back and say to Alice, "See, I stood up for harassment, and now you have to go out with me again."
Maybe. I'm inclined to not think. I don't know why. I don't know why I feel like his departure is final.
Do you know something?
Maybe.
Do you?
No. Oh. I just wanted you to think that I did, Lucy. I just wanted to feel important. Don't feel important this week. I feel like I just chat too much. shouldn't sing on a chairlift.
Has it bashed you a bit, that?
I tell you why it's... No, it hasn't. Because I'm way too selfish to let it bother me. But I did fall out with a friend once. It was quite a very long time ago, before we were all aware about mental health and all that stuff.
Oh, you... Yeah.
Yeah, I told you, didn't I? And she broke up with me in a letter, and it listed all my annoying traits. And
that was unnecessary, surely?
No, it was. It was unnecessary. But, she was going through something really... Okay. That I didn't understand how terrible it was at the time. And anyway, it was very, very sad. I told you, didn't I? It was like worse than a boy breaking up with me. It was worst, awful. Anyway, but ever since then, it's like, I mean, in a way it's good, because nobody's perfect. And all my lovely friends have a tiny bit of annoyingness about them.
Well, of course they do, because they're people
and
nobody's
people.
Perfect. Yeah.
But when it's sort of listed in a letter.
Yeah, that's
it's
harsh.
Hard to forget.
Yeah.
Hard to get over that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, luckily I'm not massively insecure, so I don't really care.
Good.
But I did then. I really did then. Mm. Anyway. Enough about me.
I think you're important, Harriet.
Oh, thanks, Lucy. No, sadly, I don't know anything, but I do know that it's Susie's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Susie.
So happy birthday, Susie.
Susie plays Tracy. In case anybody's new and doesn't know the rules.
As if anybody doesn't know.
Now, one of our listeners last week, Naomi, said that she was intending to play a squeeze song at her funeral. And Jeff was trying to guess which one it was. Various people on Twitter had a stab at what it was. Rob Williams suggested Take Me, I'm Yours, which is aimed at God, I presume, or something. And Naomi said, and I said, oh, it's got to be Kirsty MacColl's Thank You for the Days.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
Yes. And she said, it is In These Shoes, a squeeze song called In These Shoes. She said, I'm not sure it would be given the okay, but since I have a passion for shoes, I feel people would be able to have a good chuckle as they leave the church. I'm not claiming in the slightest to be anything like the wonderful character in the song. However, the idea of hopefully going to a fantastic place, well, it gets my vote. I believe the song was written for a dear friend of theirs who's terminally ill. Oh, sorry, yes. And to answer Jeff's question, they'll need it after Squeeze's Some Fantastic Place.
It's funny, though, because weirdly, I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday about fun songs at the end of funerals.
And yeah.
because he was telling me about his friend Susan, who died a while ago, and she had at the end, as she was, I think, as the coffin was, you know, going out, wake up little Susie. And
wow, that's dark.
But yeah, and I was saying at my mum's funeral we had an uplifting song at the end. But the trouble with a funeral is that it is such a somber atmosphere, and when you've been crying and had all the sad bits, and then suddenly at the end there's like do 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 woo boo boo boo. Nobody's there has to be, we were saying there has to be a sort of intermediate,
a bridge song.
There
has to be a bridge, exactly, because
you can't go from despair to like boogieing. You just can't. It's so awkward.
Yeah.
So there has to be,
and also if people do start laughing, they tend to not be able to stop because you then become completely hysterical.
It's that hysteria, isn't it?
The emotion is just, you just don't know what to do with it, so it kind of swings from one extreme to the other. Yes, and then you have people sobbing and hiccuping and drooling and everything else. It's all a bit much,
so,
really.
So you need something just before to warm up the audience a bit before they can really let their head down or laugh.
Maybe you could have like a wah, 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 wah sound effect or something like that. Naomi also says, please can you shout out to Kate, my friend and colleague, who is also an avid Archers fan. We are trying to educate the rest of the staff into listening to the Archers, but it's rather like trying to stop Brian chatting up available or otherwise women or persuading Emma to let go of her chainsaw. It's a lost cause.
Oh, no.
Well, keep trying, Naomi. And hello, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
I hope you are joining us.
Isn't it hard, though, to get non-Archers listeners listening?
Yes. Because they say, well, what's it about? And you're like, oh, my God.
it's about an alcoholic and a chainsaw and some cow hides that are smelly. That's it, really.
Daniel Millichip also noted Kate's coffee machine. He said, it is the world's quietest coffee machine. I must have one so I can make coffee while on conference calls. Wonderful. Yes,
I think I missed that.
Jacob was going, why won't it work? Blah blah blah. But stabbing at the coffee machine, and Kate said, turn it off and turn it on again. There you go, it's working. And there was no sound effect to say that anything was working or doing anything at all.
Well, Justin's didn't make a sound either. No. Or maybe we just didn't hear Emma making the coffee.
No.
So rude to say, make your own coffee machine. God, every coffee machine is different.
Yes. Oh, he's just such an arsehole.
Oh, he's awful. Mm. I don't get you to pull my pints out of the goodness of your heart. Oh, he's awful. Hate him.
Denise Durocher. It's also what the L is happening here. She said, it is now part of my everyday life and I love it. But what really makes it special are the duck quacks at the end. Whoever decided to add quack quack at the end of the song is a genius. I always wait for the duck to quack twice. And when you don't play that part, well, something special is missing, she says.
Well, that's Matt's
genius.
Yes,
Matt the quack.
Matt is the genius.
Talking of Justin, Richard Keeling said, did anyone else find all the business talk this week boring? I know we always know that they just gloss over business, but I nearly nodded off during Justin's GCSE business studies lesson to Emma. Also, has Justin always been this vile asking Emma to pay? What a dickhead. Yes.
The business stuff was, I loved it because it was so funny, wasn't it? It was just, nobody says those things, do they, in real life?
No. And also, you can't really talk about a spreadsheet in the same breath as smart goals, because they're two, one is a thing and the other one is the thing that you do the thing on. It's not, oh, God.
But it was like, so they've downloaded. They've just sort of Googled how to write a business plan, and it's given them like five bullet points.
Buzzwords, and they're just using them over and over and over again.
USP. Smart, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Anyway, there was so much chat about it that I really enjoyed it all.
It's just Howard's way. It's Howard's way.
But that's why we love the Archers, Lucy.
Yes.
We love it because of its vagueness when it comes to anything financial or businessy or policey. Yes. Broad brushstrokes. I love it.
Last week, James Everett, who is back, by the way.
Hurrah!
Said that if anybody wanted any particular characters, he would see if he could find them.
God, and he's doing requests.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know. So I suggested Julia Pargeter because I love Mary Wimbush. And lots of other people said yes to please for that, including Kate Lloyd-Jones, who said, can I second your request for Julia Pargeter? I was gobsmacked when I discovered it was the same actress who played the slatternary Pruddy in the original Poldark of my childhood. Don't know if it's Pruddy or Prudy. A double-handed scene with Nelson would be ideal, or failing that, her putting Lizzie down.
Oh, also, wow. That would be awesome.
Walter Gabriel and Mrs. P. Mm-hmm. Or Colonel Danby when played by Ballard Barkley. What a great name, Ballard Barkley.
Gosh. Mm. Wow.
I heard a fantastic anecdote about Mary Wimbush today. She was never knowingly under-refreshed, and she obviously smoked like a chimney, which I don't think it was going to be a huge surprise to anybody when you've got a voice like that.
Well, so she was always carrying a gin while she was recording.
Yes, yes. She was in an advanced state of refreshment for much of the time. And apparently she turned up at someone's house once with her bottle, and they opened the door and she said, am I late for the party? And the woman said, no, it was last night, Mary. And she said, oh God, was it? She said, yes, you were there. She said, brilliant. Anyway. Richard Keeling's request, please, James E. Everett, is I would like, oh, here we go. He's obsessed. I would like to request a What the Hell feature featuring the Grey Man. As I'm pretty sure he was mentioned in passing once and I've just taken that and ran with it for 4 years. Or I'd be happy with a Lexi feature. I really hope they write Roy out as moving to Bulgaria to live happily ever after with Lexi. That would be lovely.
That really would be lovely.
Except obviously Lexi's children have got to, Lexi's got to come back at some point for there to be some sort of custody row about Thingy Bob. What's his name? Their child.
Xander. Xander.
And I need to apologise to the whole of the Archers universe. Because we did What the Hell Is Happening Here, and it was a drinking game, and Kenton mentioned, Charlie gets it. Charlie knows the game. And I said to Jeff, who's Charlie? And Jeff had absolutely no idea, obviously, because it was way before his time. And of course, it was Charlie. Charlie Thomas, who shagged Adam and I was cleaning my teeth that evening and thought, who was, oh my God, Charlie Thomas. And then
I think that's quite hard to, that would be hard to spring to mind, because Charlie Thomas feels like he was only in it for a blink of an eye.
Mm.
But actually he wasn't, was he?
No, he was in it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you're, that's fine that you forgot that.
Okay, thank you.
Could have been anyone. Could have been any old Charlie, Lucy.
Alexander Hodge says, I would like to hear Julia Pargeter, Walter Gabriel and Marjorie Antrobus.
Oh, yes, yes.
The dog woman. I would especially like to hear Walter Gabriel saying his catchphrase. Years ago, I also really enjoyed listening to the Tony Hancock Archer spoof called The Bowmans, which you referred to during the podcast. I'd also like to hear Martha Woodford, Uncle Tom Forrest, when he was in a good temper and not in his latter years when he wasn't.
Yes.
And Caroline Sterling in her younger years when she had not long arrived at Gay Grables. I think that James Everett might wish he'd never suggested this.
Oh my gosh, James. I'd get back under those duvet covers if I were you.
Yep. Alex
next
is
week
off
it's going to be, have you heard from James?
I just get a formal letter of resignation. Alex is off to Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan for 2 weeks from Friday, so we'll investigate if they have any similar radio soaps there.
Oh yes, please.
Yes.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Because when you were away, we had a German listener who said no, we don't have anything like that.
Oh God, I feel like there's a gap in the market here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nina says she would also like to hear some of the dog lady that had Afghan hounds. That's Marjorie Antipas. She said, this would take me back to listening to Archers, to the Archers with my Nana. I had a rag doll out at my Nana's house and I named my dolly Shula. Shula the dolly was very naughty and got the back of her leg slapped often. Ah, halcyon days, she says.
Shula getting the back of... She would have liked Neil to slap the back of her leg.
I was going to say, the thing about Shula is that she'd quite like that. Yes, I have been bad. I have.
Yes, you often find me in a cornfield.
Because she was quite racy, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah.
In hedges and haystacks. I'm going to know where. So James Everett says...
Good luck, James.
Yes, the mysterious Charlie was Charlie Thomas. Had an affair with Adam. At the end of the night, so the drinking game was Adam and Ian stag do. At the end of the night, Rob tells Ian about Adam's affair with Charlie Thomas.
That's right. I remember that episode. Yeah.
Helen had seen them kissing at New Year's. As well as with the picker, Pavel. This broke down Ian and Pavel. Helen's friendship, leaving her more alone.
Oh, right. Oh, it's so clever, isn't it? All intertwined. Very good, the Archers.
Right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Let me see which one this is. Hang on.
Believe me, that's...
Nope.
What the L is happening?
Oh, no. No quack. Sorry.
And no sound and no voice.
No, sorry. That was the master one. Anyway, here we go. Here's the clip.
Believe me, that's saying something.
Here comes the Queen herself.
Oh, Miranda! Now, I do hope... Heavens, your dress.
Well, I'm glad you like it. But we've got more important things to talk about.
Miranda, may I introduce you to my sister-in-law, Pat Archer?
Not another one. I can't keep up with all of you.
And it's nice to meet you, too.
I need a serious word, Lillian. My friends aren't at all happy with the arrangement so far.
Oh, Lillian knows that, and I think you'll find she's across it all.
This fishing trip tomorrow, it's for a very influential friend of mine. He's had no itinerary, no timetable. Are you listening to me, Lillian?
Of course she is. You're making yourself very clear.
Well, she seems totally mesmerised by my outfit. I'm glad you like it, but...
Miranda... I'm afraid you need to change now.
What?
Well, it's the only thing we can do in the circumstances. We need to go up to your room. No time to lose.
What on earth was all that about?
I've got no idea. All I can say is Lillian's a braver woman than I am.
Wow, what was that?
I don't know, but Miranda's a bitch. I've spent half the evening liking
exactly
her and now
same.
I don't like her anymore.
No, but I like her even more because she hasn't changed a bit vocally, has she?
No.
I know this, I know that. Wow. Although, funnily enough, the women all sounded quite samey, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's quite hard to,
yes,
to differentiate them.
Although Miranda sounded older then.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, she actually... I mean, that probably was... 15
Yes, but living with Justin must age you, don't you think?
Well, she does sound a lot more relaxed now, doesn't she?
Because Lillian's gone off the boil no end since she's been with him. She sounded all sprightly and lively when she was with Tiger, and now she sounds all gloomy and depressed and old.
I thought at first, Lillian's sort of in shock because she's having an affair with Justin and Miranda's. But what on earth was Miranda?
Well, presumably somebody was wearing the same dress. Some sort of special guest or something was wearing the same dress.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
I kind of think...
Darling, we've got to get you upstairs immediately. I'm going to lock you in and never let you out, darling.
I kind of... That's how I see Miranda, as Camilla Parker Bowles, I think.
Yes, but me too. The poise, Lucy.
Did you see Camilla Parker Bowles on Antiques Roadshow?
No. I was driving to Zurich.
She had... Oh, yeah.
So.
In a cab.
What, on last Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think no, I don't. I watched it last Sunday. I don't know when it was actually on. Yes, it was very odd. That's the most I...
Spill.
I don't know.
What was she wearing? A bikini?
Is it treason or something? Am I going to be put in the tower? Because she's the queen now, isn't she?
I mean, she does listen to the Archers.
But not really. Yeah, well, apparently she watches Antiques Roadshow.
Okay.
Well.
Was Fiona Bruce with her?
Fiona Bruce
up?
Was all over her like a rash.
Of course.
It was slightly...
Dear Fiona.
She said, hey, stop it, you're making me giggle now. This is Fiona talking to the Queen.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a bit heavy.
Oh, God, I've got to watch it, Lucy.
And
what were they looking at? Something out of
They were playing
Camilla's
one of
drawers.
Those games where they have to say, you know, better, best and whatever and how valuable things are. They have to sort of guess it. And Camilla just went completely away with the fairies. She just didn't know how she knew what was... And she said, here, this is my favourite bit of the show. And then looked completely bewildered by everything that was happening. And I thought,
well, she is
have
a
you
bit...
really watched this or
I
not?
Think she's probably a bit Mary Wimbush in that
right.
she needs to be refreshed.
Because
if you look in her eyes, they are often a bit glassy.
There's often no one driving, yes.
There's often a bit swimmy on
there. Lift
but
isn't going
she,
all the way up.
Well, she's supposed to be jolly good fun, isn't she?
Clearly. She's having far too nice a time to watch the antics. She said, it's my Sunday evening treat, she said. I thought, you are the queen. You can't tell me that you haven't got better things to do than watch Antiques Roadshow on a Sunday night.
No, she loves that and she loves the Archers. Mm. She's the people's prince. No, sorry.
Well, you're too definitely. Soon. There's your too damehood soon. Right up the spout. Yeah,
I know, I know. It's because it was so obvious I was going to get it after this. No, she. I actually think I've got a bit of time for her.
Have you?
Because if you watch The Crown, she comes off brilliantly.
Does she?
Yes, because yeah, but... she just comes off as quite fun.
Okay. That's not a real thing, though, is it?
I think she's probably all right, Lucy.
Okay, then. All right, well...
I just don't want to get cancelled. I want this podcast to stay
what
in the
What I
charts.
Can say is that she had no idea what was going on the Antiques Roadshow. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm definitely going to watch that. Oh, it's a shame that...
She kept
Fiona...
turning round and sort of beaming benignly at the watching crowd like, hello, what are all you people doing here?
What are all these objects?
Do you remember the Lord Charles ventriloquist puppet?
Yes.
But she was basically the female version of that. Hell.
But I seem to remember, was she not a tad stilted on her appearance in The Archers?
Yeah.
You'd think she got used to a bit of camera time, though. Well, I think she's jolly. And I'm just in love with those sort of... dying out people.
Yes.
Who talk in that funny way.
Yes.
Who say, Tuesday.
There was I was at the home of a stately thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there
an
was an oom. And there was a porter cabin in the car park because the loos had packed up. And the lady of the house had written, you know, normally you get, please don't flush anything down the loo, down the toilet.
Down the toilet. Yes.
And obviously this had been written by the lady herself and it started with, ladies, would you mind?
Please do not flush inappropriate materials down
the lavatory. Could you awfully not? Ladies, would you mind?
Would you mind most awfully? It brings displeasure to the pipes. Oh dear. Love a bit of that speak. It's like people of the olden days what said hotel with an apostrophe, an hotel.
Mm.
Just doesn't exist. Of course it doesn't exist. It's so old fashioned, but it is.
I've got a friend
lovely.
Who still abbreviates the word phone and puts an apostrophe.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wow. Yes. Oh, my God. Isn't that funny?
Well, it's a choice. You can either engage in the modern world or you could just completely ignore it. I'd always go for completely ignoring it.
I think I'm going to be one of those awful women when I'm older and I'm just going to turn into one. I'm just going to start putting apostrophes in front of phone.
I'm 10 years ahead of you. I'm already doing it. I can feel it.
It's dangerous, Lucy.
It's not great.
You're not. You're slagging off the Queen.
Oh, yes.
No, you weren't. You were just... No, you were just... Yeah. Yeah.
She's not really the Queen, though, is she?
Oh, Lucy, that's even worse. You can't say it. Obviously, she's not the Queen because the Queen is the Queen.
Yes.
But... but she is the new queen.
Yes. Well, the other new queen's missing in action, apparently, isn't she? She's too busy photoshopping hands left, right, and center.
I love that story. I keep Googling. What am I like? I keep Googling. Kay Middleton latest.
And just getting a lot of fevered internet speculation.
And now...
She's been abducted by aliens.
Because obviously I've been Googling it, it keeps coming up on my feeds and threads and things like that. So you get more and more obsessed and you end up going this rabbit hole, down this rabbit hole. Because why? Why, Lucy? Why?
Why what?
Why didn't someone just go, let's just not post this picture.
Yes.
Let's just not damage ourselves even more.
Yes.
Just go, poor girl. She's obviously had some serious, terrible surgery or something terrible. And
not a Brazilian bum lift then, is what half of Facebook is saying.
My husband, I don't know if
I'm allowed
to say
this. Has he had a Brazilian bum lift?
Yes.
Has he?
Thinks maybe, I don't know if you're allowed to say this. Maybe she thinks maybe her colon was removed.
Oh, you
think
she's
got...
I think
it's my mother-in-law that said that.
Like she's got like Crohn's or something.
Yeah. But then why wouldn't they be sort of... I mean, why should they? Why should they? Why can't... You know, anyway, sorry. I feel like it's because I've had half a gin. I feel terribly indiscreet.
Not half as indiscreet as if he'd had half your colon removed.
Oh, God, Lucy. Oh, dear. I feel like we might offend. I don't want to offend anyone. Oh, my God. I'm going to end up being so paranoid.
I don't think that she listens. I'm pretty sure.
No, but maybe Queen Camilla listens.
Do you think? And to us?
Yes. Mm-mm. You never know. I'm quite posh.
I do know. She definitely doesn't Patreon us. I can tell you that much. So she hasn't got a leg to stand on, quite frankly.
Wouldn't that be great if we got a little email tomorrow going, actually,
one
here's a pint. It's one pint.
Look, it's got a little picture of one's husband on it. How funny. Look at him
anyway,
there, sitting
I would
there
like
with his
to
big
wish
ears flapping.
The royal family all the best, Lucy.
Oh, my God, are we going full on Daily Mail now?
But you can't say anything these days without being shouted at.
I think
even if you slag the Archers off, you shouted.
Well, there we go. We might as well just go the whole hog then.
Oh dear! Oh, I feel like I've been terribly indiscreet. Anyhow,
script. I'll do this bit. It's in blue.
Well done.
And now we're crossing over to Radio Borchester's comic relief attempt.
Oh, brilliant!
Welcome to BBC Radio Borchester's special charity show. I am your compere, Febreze, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon because I have. I am not even being paid for this because it is for charity, so I think I should be made an enormous member of the Empire of England, like Mrs. Smells. Today, we are in Felbisham Arena, which is just next to Cathedral, bowling alley, and hastily made up crazy golf. And we are doing Gladiator, which is very 90s and Lycra, and I enjoy very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big hand to our gladiators today. We have Trojan. Is that not a condom? Who is that under the big helmet? Ah! It is Arasmant Burns. A big hand for the man with the big helmet, please. And then we have Wolf. Really? I think this is Alistair, is it? Give us a wave, Alistair. Not too high. That costume look a bit splitty under the arm. And next, in the lady corner, we have... Lampshade!
Nightshade.
Oh, yes, sorry. Nightshade, ladies and gentlemen.
I am attractive but deadly, and I lurk in, well, in the shady bits of your garden, possibly under an edge, ready to spring out.
Does Nightshade do that? I had no idea. Oh, and next, Furry!
Fury, Febreze, Fury. Very much a lady, just goes a bit quiet and tight-lipped and then throttles you when you're sleeping.
Well, that is actually quite scary. I don't think if I was Mr. Mincy, I would close both eyes at the same time. Now, our first round. Trojan the Condom. That is you, Arisbent, remember? Are you ready to swing yourself across the deadly pool while Alistair tried to pull you off? It will be very distract, I would imagine. And they are off. Oh, Arisbent is very good. He is go very fast, but Alistair is gain on him. Oh, and Alistair has got all of him. He's hanging onto his leggings. Watch out, Arisbent. Oh, well, now I can see why Fallon always sounds so exhaust. And they are in the pool. Well, this is a family show, so I suggest, Arisbent, you go and get your leggings stitched back together, and Alistair, go and get a towel and rub off. Now, will the ladies be able to match that?
I'm not doing that. No offence, Elizabeth, it's just that I don't fancy that water. It's got bits in it.
It is only bits of Arisbent's crotch.
To be fair, Febreze, I'm not overjoyed at the idea of going in either. I've just had my brows laminated and they'll end up all over the shop.
Oh yes, that is true. OK then, maybe you two can do the hitting each other with massive cotton buds battle then.
Oh, you don't mind doing that. Prepare to be knocked off your little podium thingy, Furry.
That is spirit. Can we have a cheer for our two brave contestants, audience? Are you ready, Lampshade?
Nightshade. Yes, I'm ready. Oh, I've just seen Mince in the crowd. Yoo-hoo, Mincey. Oh, Susan, I wasn't ready. We're gladiators. I can't hang around waiting for you. I've got things to do. Susan, that hurt. Well, I'm sorry, but we're supposed to be committed fighters, and I want to win the garden centre voucher. Anyway, it's only a big cotton bud. It can't hurt that much.
Actually, it is mop handle with frying pan on end. I couldn't get the foam bits.
Yeah! Oh, Febreze, I demand a steward's inquiry. She's trying to fracture my skull. How I am not. I just want a voucher for me hanging baskets. Just let me win and I'll stop.
Susan, I am going to intervene. Ow! That is not nice. Put down the cotton bud.
Yeah.
Put it down, Susan. You can have these silly old garden centre vouchers.
Now, I'm enjoying this now. I've got me eye in.
Not the face, Susan, not the face.
Mincy, darling, can you find Neil? He's going to need to sedate her, I think. Febreze, you keep her busy. That's right, bob and weave. She's very agile for an older woman, isn't she? Mincy, give me a hand off this podium, will you? You never said what you thought of my outfit.
Thank you very much, whoever was in that. It was Febreze and you, hooray. I think. Hooray. Yeah. Right, now, I can't tell you what we're playing out with because I don't know.
Okay.
Because Matt is tinkering with it and he's so busy tinkering he hasn't told
yes.
me what it is.
He's got a special project on the go.
Has he?
Oh, isn't it that thing that we were doing?
I don't know. I don't know what you've been doing.
Maybe you don't know. This is exciting.
Oh, you're so excited that you know something I don't know.
Yes. Finally, I'm important.
Yay! Your week has been rectified. Hooray.
Oh, I didn't tell you I met Michael Rosen.
Did you?
This week. Yeah.
What at?
Yeah.
In the studio. Cab coming back from Zurich.
I waited for him for 40 minutes. I waited for him to come out the studio because I just was so desperate to say hello because I'm a bit of a fan.
Okay.
He was so, so lovely.
Aw.
And he's quite old. I didn't realise how old he was, but he doesn't look it.
He's
very
been
young.
Very, very poorly as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I have to say I was surprised at how young and physically sort of fit he was.
Mm. Did you fancy him? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's very good at poetry. Terribly good with words.
Did you say, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it's been?
I wish I had.
For me to hop about this corridor 40 minutes waiting for you so that I could stumble over my words and come across as a bit of a dick.
Thank you. Well, exactly. I did, because poor thing, he came out, he'd been obviously recording all day, he did look a bit tired, to be fair, and he happened to be telling the engineer how tired he was, and then I just literally pounced on
him. Did you sing? Did you sing at any stage?
Would you like me to sing one of your poems? I can do it to any tune you like.
Or just anything, really. I'll just sing, shall I?
The hell is that alive? Oh, dear.
What were you singing on the ski lift, incidentally?
I like to sing Edelweiss.
Right.
Or
you
anything
say
from
I like
Guys
to
and
sing
Dolls.
As if you've got form for this. Do you do this all the time?
Yeah.
Every time you get on the ski lift, you sing?
Yes. Yes.
Good God.
Even if perfect strangers are on it, Lucy.
Really?
No, what, only if I'm on... No, okay. No. If I'm on it with my friends, okay. Yes. But I hadn't quite clocked that this particular batch of friends, two or three of them were happy to join in, but not all of them were.
No.
They made that very clear.
Good Lord.
Anyway,
when I was an au pair, the little girl that I looked after, she came home, one of the little girls, she came home from school and I said, what did you do this afternoon? And she said, singing. And I said, what did you sing? And she said, well, I sang Little Brown Jug. I don't know what they sang. So I'm getting echoes of that, really.
Yes, exactly.
You bellowing out Edelweiss and everyone else trying to.
Exactly. Selfish, Lucy. It's selfish. I don't care.
No. Sodom.
Sodom.
You just didn't realise you were going to have to be spending another day in the camp with them.
They were just desperate to shake me off by that time. Someone get her a bloody taxi. they're still there. They just... If you've enjoyed the show, please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify.
To make Harriet feel important. Cheer her up even more.
I didn't... Did I say how I think I texted you, didn't I, to say
yes.
Thank you
lovely.
So much.
And thank you very, very much to Steve Parrott, who very kindly put a thing out on Twitter and said, I'm sure you've all seen this podcast, but if you haven't, please listen to it because it's good, and also give them a review. And lots of people did.
Yeah, honestly, I was bowled over by the amount of lovely reviews. So thank you so much.
Yes.
It does make our little tiny hearts flutter, doesn't it, Lucy?
It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Brian.
Absolute joy.
It's been a joy and a pleasure. And if you've enjoyed yourself too, please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like. And you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter. Oh, I can't be bothered to do it all like that. It's too hard. It's too hard. It's so tiring speaking like that. That's why no one speaks like that anymore.
How did they all have that cracky voice?
What do you mean?
Because it's not like the vocal fry thing. It's not like the creaky fry thing. But they had this...
Oh, do you mean a sort of, it's more like that sort of thing?
Yeah, they all had a break in the voice.
Oh, it's terribly, terribly, terribly.
How do you do that?
You could do that. It's a bit like a vocal fry.
Like Claire Foy in when she was the queen, she did it. Even as the young queen,
terribly,
she did it.
Terribly, terribly. I think you just, I don't know, you'll just find it.
Okay.
I tell you who's really good at it as well. Have you seen, well, maybe you haven't, but there's a film called Maestro. You know, the one about Bernstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's Claire Foy again. Is it? No, it's not. It's Kerry Mulligan.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think she's so beautiful, that woman.
She's so pretty, Lucy.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop staring at her. Like,
she's got
her
an incredible face.
It's because it's so pretty, even if it's... I was saying to a friend, actually, she's got in it, you can see her wrinkles, but she still looks 12 because she's got this beautiful, like, elfin face.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, apart from her looking stunning in it, she also does this incredible voice in it, which is part part sort of 1940s American, but also part Venezuelan or something. It's really amazing. Wow. Yeah, and it's a really good film, actually. I recommend it.
Huh.
Yeah, it's in black and white.
I always wanted to talk like one of those women on sort of Fred Astaire films. Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers films.
Yeah, like a Katharine Hepburn sort of thing.
Well, no, yeah, because, you know, so there'd be Katharine Hepburn or Ginger Rogers or whoever. But then there was always the funny friend. And she was either the maid or the slightly smarter one. So she's sort of the wisecracking friend. And I just remember this film and I can't for the life of me remember which it is. She gets into the lift with the boyfriend of Ginger Rogers or whoever it is, who's looking a bit sort of frazzled, and she just looks up and down and goes, "Hello, George." It's just so cool.
Oh, that's so good, Lucy.
This really kind of slightly arch and just looking down her these huge eyelids and huge eyelashes. "Hello, George." It's just great. I love it.
That's so good. Ah. You should find it.
Yes, I've got no idea.
Send
you can't
me.
Really search for "Hello, George" because it would be quite the while on the Googles.
I know. I genuinely love those old-fashioned accents.
Mm.
We need to treasure them.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they are. Good. It's a dying thing. I mean, the Mitfords always used to say, "No one's going to talk like us. When we all die, there's no one left that'll talk like us."
And it's amazing, isn't it? And no one talked like people did 200, 300 years ago. Mm. It's so interesting the way we change our voices. Even if you hear, like, there was a clip going around of Claudia Winkleman, and it was of her in an interview in the 80s, and she sounds so posh compared to how she sounds now. Because obviously everybody's toned their posh.
Well, everyone went
down,
estuary,
they?
Didn't they? They all went a bit.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, not cool to speak in that RP way anymore. But it's really interesting. Mm. I love that.
Mm.
Anywho, I bet it's sorry. I've got a kid waiting to get into bed, so I'm in his room.
Okay,
and he walked in, and I was mid drinking this gin again. Yeah, oh, not Lucy. So he walked out again.
Oh, dear. He's probably on the phone to Childline now. Okay. Well,
anyway,
we'll go
for this chat.
And we'll. Yes, well, enjoy Matt, whatever it is, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for staying on if you bothered. Now you're thinking, why? Why?
Okay.
Okay, see you next week, Lucy.
Bye.
Bye.